Yes. We have some church this morning. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel 17, if you have your copy of God's Word, join me there. We are going to have an abbreviated time in the Word, but I know that any time in the Word is very profitable for all of us. Amen? 1 Samuel 17 is a very, very familiar story. Very familiar story in the passage of Scripture. One probably that kids all over the land, even that aren't in Sunday school, have heard about. David and Goliath, right? Have you heard of David and Goliath? Have you heard of David and Goliath? Some of us are more familiar with Goliath than we would like to admit. Lots of different things going on in this story today as we kind of begin our journey in the life of David. We are going to spend several weeks in the life of David looking at different episodes from his story to kind of take some life-giving principles out of his story and apply to our story. But in order to us to understand the stories of Scripture, we have to understand the story of Scripture. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's this communicator that I listen to, one of my favorite communicators, and he says it this way. For us, we have to know the story of Scripture to understand the stories in Scripture. Did you catch that? We have to know the story of Scripture. What's the backdrop story being painted throughout Scripture? So to understand the stories in Scripture that we read. That the story of Scripture is very simple. God created the world, and then when He created it, it was an amazing place. A sinless place. A place of utter beauty. It was a perfect playground for humanity. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 describes this amazing creative work of God, and then He put us in. On the sixth day of creation, humanity was formed and placed into the garden, given dominion over the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air. All of these things we know and understand. This was an amazing place, a perfect playground for you and I to live in. Not only was it perfect just because of the existence, but it was perfect because of the fellowship. Not only did we have fellowship with one another, there was fellowship with intimate and personal with God that was not broken because of sin. But we know very quickly in the story, Genesis chapter 3, sin entered the equation. When sin entered into the equation, mankind turned their back on God and turned toward themselves. And because of that, a separation happened between mankind and God. No longer did they experience the intimacy and close personal fellowship with the Lord because it was divided by sin. It was tarnished by sin. And as we understand that, this has been the same case of humanity ever since. That instead of a playground that you and I get to worship and enjoy and to do life together with God and with each other, we now have a battleground. A spiritual warfare happening all the time. Because the sin problem, then we have to deal with what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. We have to struggle with fear versus faith. And as we understand these things and live in the world that we live in this way, there's a dialogue happening between God and us the whole time. Mankind was trying to live on their own and trying to obey God. It was God and man. God gave His law to humanity to try to help and drive man toward God. But what did man do? They failed time and time and time again to be obedient to God. Nothing man could do about the sin problem to rectify it on their own. And so God, because of His infinite love for us and great mercy, sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, that whosoever would believe in Him, would trust in what He did on the cross, would have faith in Him, would have everlasting life. Simply that means to have a restored relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. This is the story, the redemptive story that's unfolding throughout the pages of Scripture. This is the backdrop that every other story is being painted for us in the pages of Scripture. That as we trust Christ and as we walk into a relationship with Him, we walk into a relationship with God that's restored, that our lives are completely changed towards sin. And we're no longer grafted to sin. We're no longer in bondage to sin. That because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we're more than overcomers. Overcoming the effects of sin. Living in victory with Jesus Christ. It defines, redefines our whole existence and our whole being. And as we do life with Christ, according to His Word, according to His teachings, that we have victory in our life. There are things that we experience because of that relationship that others don't experience in the world. We can have faith rather than fear when we come up against challenges and circumstances that we don't have the answer to. that we know the person who does, or at least the person who can bring us through those challenges. And his name is Jesus. And it changes everything about the way that we live, so that when we come up against giants in our lives, that we're not doing that alone in our own power. It's through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. This is the story that's unfolding in the backdrop of Scripture. And as we understand that, now we can understand how to apply the stories of Scripture to our lives. Because the Bible teaches that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't battle against flesh and blood as having a relationship with Jesus. We battle against the principalities and the powers of darkness. We are in spiritual warfare. And so we are not in warfare against flesh and blood. We're in warfare against spiritual warfare. And we understand that in Christ, He's changed everything. Because of His power, we live in His power. But you're saying, wait a minute, preacher, I got a question for you then. What about that diagnosis I'm waiting for? Because that's a real physical issue, a flesh and blood issue. And you're right. Another one of you might say, what about my marriage, which is really falling apart? There's distance that we've never experienced before. I don't know if we're going to make it. That's a real physical issue. You're exactly right. What about those things that we don't have the answer for that we're coming up against? Yes, but underlying all of those things, the way that we deal with those situations and circumstances. And that is where the battle is fought in the spiritual realm. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is a fantastic story. Unfortunately, we don't have the opportunity to go through all 40 or 56 verses of it, right? Unless you can push back plans for lunch. We can be here for a little while, right? No, that's not what we're going to do. What I want to do is give you some principles in a very quick fashion from this story to apply to our lives today. That we can apply immediately and understand that our battle, the battles that we fight today, we can have victory in because of Christ Jesus. As we see this and what's going on and what's happening, unfolding in 1 Samuel 17, you have the Israelite army and you have the Philistine army. The Philistines are the enemy. The Philistines are, oh man, these are nemesis to the nation of Israel. And so they're lined up, and as you can imagine, they're lined up on one's on a mountainside over here, and the other one's on a mountainside over here, and in the valley in between is the battlefield. And so on this side, as the Israelites are lined up, they're looking across the way at the Philistines that are lined up. Sorry, Philistines, you guys, you know, you're the enemy, the nemesis over here. Israelites, we're rooting for the Israelites in this. There's this guy that comes out of the Philistine camp and walks down into the middle of the battlefield and turns his attention to the Israelite army, this giant of a man named Goliath. As Goliath starts to intimidate, to taunt the Israelite armies, the Israelites didn't respond in faith. They responded in fear. They looked at this guy and they said, "Holy Toledo, you see the size of that guy? Oh my goodness, that problem there is way too big for me to handle." And instead of reacting, that is true. Many of the problems that we face in life are far too great for us to handle. No doubt about it. But instead of responding in faith, "But that problem is not bigger than my God," they responded in fear and shrunk back and saying, "We can't handle this. We can't handle this." And so as they 40 days this exercise continued to happen. And so some principles to kind of draw out of 1 Samuel chapter 17, applying to our own lives and understanding how we deal with the circumstances, with the giants that are present in our life. Number one, I want you to understand giants present themselves in different shapes and sizes. Giants present themselves in different shapes and sizes. You'll have to go ahead and advance it. I think the internet's kind of lagging a little bit. We're going to begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 4. "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath." Even sounds imposing, doesn't it? "Goliath was from Gath. His height was 6 cubits in a span." That's Hebrew for pretty big, okay? That's 9 feet plus tall, between 9 and 10 feet tall. What? That's a big dude. But not only was he a big guy, he was a big guy. I mean, he wasn't one of these tall trees that we look at, these skinny trees of these tall people that we see today. This guy was big and imposing. You looked at him and you saw trouble. There was something that was just so imposing about him. Verse 5, "He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze." That's 135 pounds of armor. Anybody, 135 pounds? That's a lot. That's a lot of weight, right? We're getting ready to do the mulch over here and put mulch from the parking lot into the thing, and we have to take it wheelbarrow by wheelbarrow, about 50 pounds at a time. 135 pounds and wearing that, getting ready to fight in that armor, that's a lot of weight. Verse 6. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. That means it wasn't a little twig. It was a pole, right? The staff of the spear was like a pole, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. Just the iron spearhead was 15 pounds in and of itself. And a shield bearer went before him. Verse 8 says, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Hey, that sounds like a good deal, right? You only sacrifice the one, you win the battle, then that wasn't the way they looked at it. The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 11 gives Saul's response. When Saul, the leader, and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Translation, they were frozen in fear. They were frozen in fear. And to make matters worse, verse 16 says, and the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Sometimes the problems that we kind of come up against in life are a little bit like Goliath. They're problems that overwhelm us, problems that we just can't wish away, problems that we can't stop thinking about, that we can't stop meditating, that we can't stop allowing it to bother us. We can't set it aside because it's so gripping, so overwhelming in the life that we live. This is exactly what we're presented here today. Some of the problems that we have are physical in nature. Some of them are relational in nature. Some of them are political in nature. Some of them are national in nature. Some of them are in our own households. Some of them are financial. We're subject to all kinds of different situations that cause us a physical response. And the Israelites, as they were engaging Goliath, or Goliath was engaging them, their physical response was to be frozen in fear. To be frozen in fear. And I would dare say that many of us, when we're presented with problems that don't have any obvious answers, that sometimes we're frozen in fear because of the things that we're presented with as well. How do we operate in that fashion? In those situations, what is the expectation of us as followers of Jesus Christ? How do we operate in the faith that we have when we come up against problems that we don't have the answers to? Well, it's to remember that our problems are spiritual in nature, first and foremost. Because I'm going to tell you, our physicality, our physical lives are temporary. We're here today, gone tomorrow. But it's eternal. It's the eternality of our souls that is most important. And as we live our lives, we have to keep reminding ourselves, this is our temporary home. And so any problem that presents itself in the physical is not really a physical issue only. It is a spiritual issue on how we are going to respond. Are we going to respond to the situations that present themselves in life, or are we going to respond with faith or fear? That's the choice that we're given. Are we going to respond with faith or fear? Because as we live our lives for Jesus Christ, it's faith that wins the battle. We fight our battles with faith. Number two, the battle is fought. We fight with faith, this battle that we're in. And so we continue reading and pick it up in verse 33. Go ahead and extend for me. And Saul said to David, you are, this is David. Here David comes. I mean, do you know what David looked like at this stage of the game? I mean, he wasn't a king that had conquered all these people. David was a teenager. I mean, a young teenager, and the Bible calls him ruddy. That means he had red hair, kind of a red complexion. He looked really young. He was a good-looking kid. The Bible does say that. But he was a youngster. He was a teenager. I mean, what's this teenager going to do against this giant Goliath? David comes from his on assignment from his dad to check on his brothers, and he comes into camp, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he knows something's different and going on. He can see the obvious signs of distress and fear and says, "What's going on?" And then all of a sudden, he hears this voice of a giant coming over the loudspeaker of the day that they're living in and defying the armies of the living God. And as he's defying the armies of the living God, David's standing there going, "What is going on? Who does he think he is?" That's an amazing response to me. I can think about David coming in, and his brothers didn't even really want him there. They thought he was there to up to no good or try to give a bad report on him. But David is there, and he hears this, and immediately he's offended for God. He doesn't have fear. That's not his response. His response is to well up against those that are opposing God. And so here David is, and he goes to Saul, and word gets back to Saul that there's a somebody that's willing to go out against the giant. Somebody that's willing to go out against Goliath. And so they bring him to Saul, and Saul said to David, "You are not able to go to this Philistine to fight with him, for you're just a youth. You're just a young person. You're just a teenager." Don't ever make the mistake of prejudging our teenagers. They have the seeds of greatness inside of them. If they're walking with the Lord, they don't know any better. They haven't been knocked down by many of the situations in life that you and I have been. They can go out and be world changers if we'll promote them and be able to encourage them to do so. But many of us take the plight of Saul. You can't. Your time will come later on. You can't go out with him. You're just a boy, and he's been a warrior since his youth. Verse 34, but David said to Saul, "All respect due, sir. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." I think it's amazing to watch what's going on here with David. David had been through some things already. David had experienced a couple of situations where the Lord came to his aid, where the Lord helped him through some things. And if we can remember that when we are presented with these giants of problems that present in our lives, that we have been through some things already, that through it all, God is faithful and he is able to bring us through the present day struggle like he did the struggles we've already been through in the past. But for some reason, the effect of recency minimizes the victory of the past to magnify the problems of the present. We have got to dispel those and cast those out because our God is bigger than these problems. And we understand that. This is what David is telling Saul. I've been through some things, and I know this problem isn't any greater than the problems I've already been through because my God can handle it. Oh, man, we need to speak to some of the problems that we have presented to us today and said our God can handle these problems. Can handle these problems. Instead of shrinking back in fear, oh, God's ready to see something happen here. He's defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, say moreover, church. Because David's saying, moreover, not only that, knowing that to be true, even more than that, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw and the lion, from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, okay, go ahead and do what you're going to do. I mean, Saul is the ultimate epitome of what David's doing. David is standing up and saying, my God can handle this. And here Saul has been for the last 40 days, shrinking back in fear, not having faith in God, not having faith in the God of the armies of Israel. And here comes this little ruddy teenager. He says, we'll go. He says, I don't have faith, but I know you do. Sometimes, church, sometimes there are people that are alongside of us, people in our small groups, people in our family that are waiting for somebody to step out in faith to show them what that looks like. And oh my God, what he can do when that happens. What he can do when that happens. As we know what happened here. So he says, okay, go. So So here Saul comes and says, all right, come here. Before you go out there, come here. All right, I want to give you my armor because that guy's got some armor on. I want to give you my armor. And so David puts on the armor of Saul and, you know, he's like, this doesn't fit. I can't wear this out to, I mean, I haven't tested this out. It's not where I've been. And really what he was saying is that this armor, this sort of protection that you're trying to give me is not what is going to save me. Many times you and I will listen to well-meaning and intentioned people trying to tell us the answer to our problems and to solve our problems for us and the ways of the world. Try this, do this, do this, and try this. And as we listen to them, we try to put those things into our life. But that's not what God is waiting for. What God is waiting for us to turn to Him and say, I have faith in what you can do. I know that you are able. I'm not going to listen to the ways of the world. I'm putting you on and putting you to work for the benefit of my life. And this is what David said to him. And so as David kind of goes off and he shirks that and he picks up his slingshot and he picks up five stones and kind of puts them in here. This is what he's comfortable with. This is what he's fought with before. This is how God came to his rescue before. He steps out onto the battlefield and looks at the giant. And as he looks at the giant starts to taunt him. Say, who am I, a dog? That you're going to send out this little pipsqueak with a stick. Come on. And then he looks at David and says, I'm going to wipe this field up with you. And then David, some of us, our knees would have been knocking, right? Because now it gets real. Now it's real. We're facing our enemy. It's mano a mano. It's hand on hand. We are there. David could have shrunk back and ran. But his faith caused him to move through this battle. And instead of shrinking back in fear when the Philistine was trying to taunt him, when the problem was taunting him, he got right in the face of that problem and fired back and saying, you are not bigger than my God. As a matter of fact, I'm going to wipe you up within this field. And when God gives me the victory over you, he gets the glory for it. Go, David. You know how the story goes. David took one of those stones, just kind of, the Bible says, I love this. I hope you said this when you read the story for yourself this week. David didn't just kind of tentatively move forward. David ran at that problem. David ran toward the enemy with his slingshot and fired that thing off. Hit the giant right in the forehead. Now, you got to admit, that probably was a pretty big target. That dude was big, right? That stone struck him in the forehead. He went down. Because the bigger the problem, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. He went down. David cut his head off and held his head up. All of a sudden, here's the Israelite army. They get brave all of a sudden, right? Right? The problem is gone. And then everybody else that's watching on said, what? If he can do that, we can do that. And stepped out in faith and chased after the Philistines. God gave them the victory that day because somebody was willing to step out and face the giant in faith. But you know what happened? And this is a spiritual principle that we understand as we live for the Lord. The last point today is that the enemy will flee. When we fight the battle with faith and we understand what God is doing on our behalf, the enemy has to flee. The verse is verse 51b. It's at the end of verse 51. It says, when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. They turned tail and ran. And that's what happens to the enemy. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says it this way, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here's the spiritual principle that we're working with. That greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. It doesn't matter what our problems look like. Our God is bigger. And our God has a plan and purpose to work out in our lives even through those problems. Doesn't mean he's going to take those problems away. Doesn't mean that. In our small group meeting last night, we talked about relational issues. We talked about different things that happened in relationships. And we came to a conclusion that God will not protect us from the things that will perfect us. We understand as we walk with the Lord that He is at work in our lives. He is at work building us and building us up in our faith. He is at work doing things in our lives through the situations, through the circumstances. That His power is plain. And as we walk in faith, we're grown up in those experiences. Today, I'm telling you, church, today he's asking us to step out in faith, to step out against the problems that are presented against us, not acting in fear, but acting in faith, stepping out and being counted on by God. He wants to use this church. He wants to use us in our lives to glorify him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. They may see your life and glorify your Father in heaven. This is something that's near and dear to God's heart. He's waiting for you and for me to step out in faith and do something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. I know that he wants to use this church. I know that he wants to use you and me to accomplish something extraordinary, something only God can do in this community, in this time and day that we live. I pray that you understand that from this passage, from this certain story, there are giants that we're going to face, but that's okay. Our God is greater than those giants that we're going to face. And as we fight with faith, as we walk according to his word, as we don't bow down or bend out, that God will work in our lives and bring us through because he's faithful. He's faithful through it all. And we'll be singing the same words that Jonathan sang at the beginning of our time together. Oh, we'll be singing our tribute to God. What an amazing God we serve. Submit to God. Willingly put yourself off the throne and allow God to be in charge. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Forsake your sin and turn toward Christ. And he will flee. Watch him run. Watch him turn tail and run. Woo! Let's get excited about that. Father, I thank you for today and I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the power that it has. Father, I pray that when we read your word, that we would read in light of the greater story that's being told. This amazing story of faith that you're unfolding in each of our lives. Father, that you're at work in such an amazing way that, Lord, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming that you would do this in our lives, that you would come to our rescue, that you would save us from our sins, and that because of that gift of salvation, that we can live lives of victory and not lives of fear. That we can run in faith this race that you have caused us to run. Father, today is we move from this place and out into the world. Father, we understand that just because we're leaving this church building doesn't mean the church is closed today. That we are the church advancing into the kingdom of darkness. And that we're going to come against some problems. We're going to come again and face some of the things that present against us, that cause us to shut up, that will cause us to try to remove ourselves in fear. But Father, in faith, help us to engage the enemy. And that you would use us to push back darkness and to shine the light. Father, if there's those in here today, there's those in here today that are facing certain giants in their lives, that have been maybe in a season of sadness or a season of suffering, a season of relationship, a season of health. Lord, that they can't do it on their own. And isn't that the exact truth that you're trying to get us to understand, that we're not supposed to do this on our own? That we're supposed to allow you to carry our burden. We're supposed to allow you to walk with us, to protect us, to guide us. And even though it may not end up the way that we want it to end up, that the situations that we're walking through, that you're with us every step of the way. And that our faith can be stronger, it can be strengthened, even in the midst of the valley. Even in the midst of the valley that is the battleground that we're engaging the enemy in. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today that are in the midst of that, in the midst of that battle. Father, if there's anybody in here that doesn't know you, that haven't walked into a relationship with you, the first step is to know you. To understand that the story of Scripture really doesn't apply to them until they know the God who wrote the Bible, the God who it's about. And Father, to come into a relationship with you is through your Son, Jesus Christ. And today maybe is the first time that they've understood that there's a sin problem they don't have the answer to, and that you sent your one and only Son to pay the penalty of that sin so they could have a restored relationship with you. Father, I pray that as they change their hearts, change their opinion about you, no longer putting their faith in themselves but turning and placing their faith in you, that you would give them the courage to step out and to walk this journey of faith. Father, if there's any in here that's the desire of their heart today, give them the boldness to approach me or one of the deacons and how to get started in this journey of faith. And Father, maybe there's others in here that want to become part of a church family, that you're leading them this way to join this fight of faith that you are engaging us in this community. Father, as we sing this song, continue to linger in our hearts and our minds. Continue to work to help us, understand that we're not the one carrying this load, that you are. As we close our service in song and in worship, the altar will be open for prayer. There'll be people here to pray with you and to pray over you. This is a message for all of us today. For all of us today. And we're not fighting these giants on our own. Maybe it's time to lay down the effort and start to ask Jesus to operate in His strength and His resurrection power. For those of us that there's someone in our lives that needs to hear this message, allow the Lord to start to change our hearts toward them. As we stand together and sing.